Wilfrid Theatre's award-winning play Follow opens on the Peacock stage of the Abbey Theatre on Friday. It's a one-man show performed by Shane O'Reilly and it's aimed at both a hearing and a deaf audience. Shane O'Reilly is with me in studio. Shane, this is a one-man play, but the character that we spend a lot of the time with is a fella called Ned. Explain who Ned is and the sort of things that he gets up to in the show.
Sure. Ned is a little boy who goes to a deaf school he goes to the school in the past, if you like. His character has been developed and created around the stories of a number of deaf men who we interviewed who had been in school in St. Joseph's in Cabra between, I'd say, 1950 and 1970. And so this little boy is a creation that came from those interviews and also from my father's kind of accounts as well. And we follow his journey throughout the show.
And St. Joseph's is the school for... It's deaf children that mostly that attend it. Is it only deaf children that
attend it? It is only deaf children, yep. It's a school that's existed in Cabra for a very, very long time. They've just had a kind of a makeover now where the old part of the school was demolished and the deaf village is now there in its place. But the school still exists just further up the site.
Both your mother and your father are deaf, is
that
right?
That's correct, yeah.
So growing up in a house where both parents had hearing disabilities and... You had no hearing disability and no speech disability of any kind, shape or form.
No.
What was the nature of the communication?
So this often fascinates people. I would have begun with sign language. So at the very beginning, when I was, I guess, when other children are learning to speak, I was formulating signs and following a very visual dialogue. And then the house operated on a very visual signifier level as well. So whenever the doorbell went, all the lights in the house would flash. Whenever the phone rang, we had this enormous lamp in the kitchen that would flash and illuminate the whole house from the inside. The alarms that went off in the house had kind of police sirens. They were pretty much similar on the roof of every room where people assembled, so hallways, kitchens. And if the fire alarm went off or the house alarm went off, all of those would begin spinning and we'd descend into this blue haze of madness.
And yeah. Your own, I suppose, experience of deafness and how you live within a family that has experienced deafness is very much at the heart of, I think, what inspired you to devise this show in the first place.
Yeah, I work as an actor and that's what I trained to do. And so in 2011, I had a conversation with the director, Sophie Motley, about this kind of conflict that I had as an actor working in a theatre that relies on people to be able to hear in order to directly access the narrative. And I wanted to know whether it was possible to create a piece of theatre that both a hearing and a deaf audience could sit in an auditorium together and enjoy at the same time with the same focus.
So when it came to devising this piece, how much of your own experience as a hearing child growing up in that family where there was deafness, how much of that actually transfers directly onto the stage and into the style of the production?
It's very much represented. What people describe someone like me as is a CODA, C-O-D-A, and that stands for a child of a deaf adult. And so my world as a CODA is where we started in terms of the creation of the style. So the whole show is extremely visual. Light plays an enormous part. Sarah Jane Shields is a collaborator and the designer. And light is a character at times, or light tells the story. And so in this world of no sound that I was born into, and then this middle world that I exist in between sound and no sound, that's where the show, the style of the show was born. And our composer, Jack Cawley, was trying to create sound for the deaf side of the audience, because the hearing side will have access to his beautiful composition. But the deaf side, we were curious at the beginning of how to do that. And so Jack's worked with both visual instruments like theremins, DJ equipment, guitars, pianos, and then also an enormous amount of the sound translates to vibration within the auditorium in order to let a deaf member know it's happening.
You don't. It's not as if you're telling one single story throughout, but we get parts of what could be your own family background. Mm. We get the story of this little boy Ned and his experiences in the school for the deaf. We also get the story at another point of a builder.
Mm.
Just explain what his story is and why you wanted to include that aspect.
Yeah, I mean, this is where it's really important that people understand that the show is not just for a deaf audience. It's for a deaf and a hearing and a hard of hearing audience as well. It's about bringing people together. And that section that you just talked about is the other side of deafness that I didn't grow up with, which is people who lose their hearing every day, people who didn't get born into the deaf community, this world of sign language and the world of deaf culture. And so that scene, the builder who didn't wear his ear defenders and lost his hearing, is an exploration of that side of what deafness means. And we look at the consequence and the responsibility of losing your hearing and who's responsible for that and what it means as, I guess, an inverted way of talking about deaf culture, because it's very different. And those people don't have access to sign language, although we may assume they do, nor do they want, a lot of them want access to sign language. They still exist within a hearing world. They just don't have hearing.
And in this scene, it's you as the builder, and he's arriving, I guess, at some sort of health services claims desk.
His insurance desk, where he's
trying to see if he's entitled to any money for this accident that has happened to him.
Yeah.
And here's the exchange between him, and it's Jack Cawley, who plays the part of the insurance assessor.
I'm here about my health insurance claim. I'm sorry, can you repeat that slowly, please? Oh, how long? I was there for 11 years. Oh, sorry. Sometimes I shout. 6 months ago. 8% in both ears. All I can hear is a slight muffle.
Shane O'Reilly and Jack Cawley there in Wilfrid Theatre's production Follow, which is running at the Peacock Theatre this week and next week. I said that Jack Cawley plays the part, but that's one of the ways in which music works in the show. It literally takes on the part of a text.
Yes, and it replaces it in order to, I guess, emphasise and highlight the dynamic style of the piece. So the storytelling has to happen in multiple different ways in order to access both a hearing and a deaf audience.
You mentioned there about vibration. So no matter whether you're a hearing member of the audience or a deaf member of the audience, will you still experience those vibrations? Are all the seats wired up for vibrations, or how does it work?
Yes, Jack has curated all of the sound of the piece so that it is... you can feel it or see it while it's happening. And that's all about access. So with the deaf audience or the deaf people amongst the audience, whereas we have to accept they cannot hear, Jack wanted to make sure that they're always aware of the sound. And if the vibration can indicate the quality or the type of sound, then it does that as well.
You know, this has been a hugely successful production. It first played at the Fringe Festival in Dublin back in 2011, won the Spirit of the Fringe that year, as far as I remember. It's travelled internationally and it's travelled nationally in the meantime. Is there a very big difference in the reaction of different audiences, both hearing and non-hearing audiences?
Yeah. At the very beginning, I guess we were very new to what the show would do or what it would say to an audience. And we were really struck by the hearing audience. They don't expect to be entertained and to have a good night out at the theatre. They feel like this is an issue-based piece. And it's not. They're roaring laughing, and they're also completely alerted to things they didn't know about within the deaf community, deaf humour and the beauty of sign language. And so they're always quite shocked and emotionally moved as well at the consequence of miscommunication or absence of communication. And then with our deaf audience, I think the deaf community are very passionate about this idea of what is called direct entertainment. So within the theatre world, and a lot of visual entertainment and audio entertainment, they get what's called interpreted entertainment, which is an interpreter standing at either side of what the director has created and translating the material for them. Whereas this production is what they call direct entertainment. The narrative and the story and the intention of the piece exists with the performer who is signing and who is giving that directly to the audience.
Shane O'Reilly has been talking to me about Wilfrid Theatre's production Follow. It previews on the Peacock stage of the Abbey Theatre tomorrow night, opens on Friday and then runs through until the 6th of December. More information on abbeytheatre.ie and Wilfred, that's Fred with two Ds, .com.